my all in all. Oh, my God, my God.
You know what? If I could sing right now, I think I would tell you in 2018, I got a feeling that everything is going to be all right. I wonder how many of you got a feeling that everything is going to be all right.
Amen.
If you're sick, it's going to be all right.
I've got a feeling.
Come on,
Chip. Everything's going to be all right.
Everything's
going to be all right. Yes, I've got a feeling. Everything's going to be all right. Be all right. Be all right. Be all right. Amen. The preacher done told me in 2018 everything's gonna be all right. Oh, the preacher done told me
everything.
Oh, done told me everything be all right. Be all right. Be all right.
Come on, the deacon. The deacon.
Oh, the deacon done told me everything's gonna be all right. Oh, the deacon done told me everything's gonna be all right. Come on now, deacon. The deacon done told me everything's gonna be all right. Be all right. Be all right. Be all right.
The brother.
My brother done told me everything's gonna be all right. Oh, my brother done told me
everything's gonna be all right.
Oh, my brother done told me everything's gonna be all right. Be all right. Be all right. Be all right.
My sister
done told me everything's gonna be all right. Oh, my sister done told me everything. Oh, my sister, she done told me everything's gonna be all right. Be all right. Be all right. Be all right.
My Jesus.
Oh, Jesus done told me everything's gonna be all right. Oh, Jesus done told me
everything's gonna be all right.
Oh, Jesus done told me everything's
gonna
be all right. Be all right. Be all right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And all the people of God said amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Oh, thank you. Loretta, who's saying, I'm still here. In 2016 and 17, she had some trials. She received a kidney, and that kidney went bad, and We went to see her, and it looked like it wasn't it was going to be the end for her. Saints prayed, and can I tell you something? When the saints of God praise, God moves in mysterious ways. The report was that she would be gone. But in 2018, she cried out in the church on a Sunday morning at 12:08, I'm still here. There's a song that says, I'm still here in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Still here in Jesus' name. Hello. Amen. We continue our series of sermons from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That love chapter that Paul writes to the church at Corinth to share with them what love is and what love does and what love is not. He speaks to them in this manner, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm become as a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vanteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. Love is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Come on, help me here. Neighbor. Neighbor. Love does not rejoice in sin, but in truth. Paul helps us again to understand love. Paul speaks of love not as philios, or brotherly love, not as eros, sexual love. He speaks of love not as surgos, not as love parent for child, but he speaks of agape, God's love. John 3:16 helps us to understand that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have life everlasting. Paul helps us to understand in his writing about love and about sin. Here, after saying that love suffers long, love puts up with a lot of stuff. Help me here. Then he says, not only does love put up with a lot of stuff, but he says that love is kind. It's kind. It gives, it shares the spirit of God's presence through the power of the Holy Spirit. He helps us to understand that not only is love the ability to put up with a lot of stuff and to be kind, but it says that love doesn't envy what you have. You can have a Bentley. And your neighbor can rejoice in the fact that you have a Bentley. It is not envious because I'm driving a Hoopty and you driving a Mercedes. Love says, better for you. I believe God for what I want. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door shall be opened. Seek and he shall find. Love, love is not envious. And love does not, is not puffed up. No matter what you put on your face and on your lips and on your body and puff yourself up, love is not puffed up. Love is just love. It is just God saying to you and to me, I know that you are sinful and you have a sinful nature, but I love you beyond your sin and through your sin. So love is not puffed up and love is not envious. Love does not behave itself unseemly and seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. You don't get mad, real mad, at folk you love. Help me here, somebody. You may become disappointed with their action, but you don't say to your wife or to your husband, you made me so mad till I'm wondering why I love you. I think I would say to my wife, if she made me mad, baby, you sure made me angry, but I'm still mad enough to love you. Oh, y'all catch that on your way home. Y'all catch that on your way home. Paul writes to the church and says to the church, love does not rejoice in sin. I wish I had time to talk about sin, but can I confess to you? I have sinned. I have sinned. I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now stop looking at me like I'm different than you. Why don't you just say, yes, Reverend, we all have sinned. Come on, help me here. We all have sinned. And we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Paul talks about sin. He talks about sin as if a marksman, a guy takes an aim at a target and misses the target. Paul calls sin paratoma, which means to miss the mark. All of us have missed the mark. All of us have come short of the standards that God has set before us. You're aware of the Decalogue. You're aware of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor. Whatever your neighbor has, you ought not covet it to the point that you want to bring your neighbor down to the fact that you want to have it yourself. All of us have sinned. Now, my sin may not be your sin, and your sin may not be my sin, but all of us have sinned. I know some folk who come to church Sunday after Sunday, don't speak to anybody, just come in and talk about I'm worshiping God, I'm not worshiping man. Well, why don't you be kind and say hello to somebody? Why don't you extend a hand of friendship? Why don't you help somebody? God gets angry with all of us puffed up, sanctified Christians who come into the church and forget that they are human and that they need a hand of help, a hand of love, a word of encouragement. Just because you got a little something, something, it doesn't mean that you need to treat somebody that has less than you have with disdain and with, oh, I'm not meddling. I'm just talking about some folk that come to church. They don't come to Second Baptist. They go somewhere else. Second Baptist is a friendly church. We hug you. We don't care how you smell. We shake your hand. We don't care what you got on. Second Baptist is a loving church. It's a loving church. But can I tell you something? All of us were nasty one day. All of us was filled with sin. All of us had the sin nature come out. But thanks be to God that God sent Jesus Christ to redeem us of our sin. Thanks be to God. Love, real love, does not rejoice in sin, but in truth. Paul says, love does not find delight in anything God says is wrong. Neither does love take secret satisfaction in the moral failures of others. Love does not hide evil by keeping secrets that need to be exposed. Love does not pass along a juicy morsel of someone else's failures just because it tastes good to do so. You may not know some folk, but I know some folk who will call another person and say, do you know what Pastor Jimerson did? Do you know how before he came to us, what kind of life he lived? Do you know his sin? Why would you want to rehearse what I have done and not look at your own house? We need to sweep our own house clean before we try to clean up somebody else's house. Oh, I wished I had some help here. Just because you know something that has happened in the life of another believer, you should not gossip. Love does not gossip to break the monotony or to appear knowledgeable or to feel better about itself by publishing the news of someone else's shame. Breaking the news of sin must be for the good of others rather than to promote one's own agenda around someone else's embarrassment and pain. The kind of love that Paul is speaking of can sound as painful as it is noble. Real love cares about the long-term damages of sin. It cannot rejoice in evil while anticipating the look in people's eyes and the anguish in their faces when sin harvest finally comes in. Real love knows that evil is planted, that when evil is planted in mindless moments of pleasure, that the harvest will come and make a consciousness of regret. Sin planted as seeds of careless foolishness will be harvested in heavy loads of lost opportunities and missed benefits. Love knows that sin planted as something everybody's doing will one day produce the fruit of separation, isolation, and loneliness. Sin planted to pass the time will result not only in a harvest of lost time, but in loss and losses for eternity. Real love cannot rejoice in iniquity, because it cares not only about today, but it also cares about tomorrow. Real love cannot treat evil as an innocent option. Sin is our enemy, and sin is God's enemy. Sin sabotages our desire to live under God's power. Look what the Bible says about sin. By one man, sin entered the world. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate from the fruit of the tree, they disobeyed God. And anytime you disobey God, there is punishment. And so they were cast out of the garden. But thanks be to God that since sin came into the world by one man, salvation and the forgiveness of sin came through Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? He is the Son of the Almighty God. Who is Jesus Christ? He is God incarnated. For John 1 and 1 says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Without him was not anything made that was made. And then John tells me that if anybody accepts Christ, accepts the light of the world, that they become the children of God. And then it tells us, the Bible tells us, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. If a man sin, if we sin, 1 John 2 and 1 says that if a man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We have somebody who will stand in the courtroom of judgment and plead our case. We have someone whose blood covers us and keeps us and helps us to be the righteous people of God. In 2 Samuel chapters 11 through 12, we find David's sin with Bathsheba. We see him, David, when the kings went to war, David sent his subjects to war. They are at war and they are fighting, but the king stayed home. Can I help leaders? When we send people out to work in the field of God, we ought to be there to support them. When God sends somebody to the field, when God sends somebody next door, when God sends somebody down to Tucker, we ought to say, go, and the Spirit of God go with you. Matter of fact, I'm going with you. That's why Jesus sent his disciples out two by two to encourage one another, to be a support agent one for the other. It ought to be somebody here that tell the world, I'm going for Christ and I want you to come and go with me. But if you can't go and you won't go, don't hinder me. Don't stop me from going. So my brothers and sisters, when we look at David and we look at David the king, you remember David was anointed to be the king. And to be anointed does not mean that sin will not come into your life. To be anointed, to have a special anointing of God, does not mean that sin will not enter into your life. Because sin, is like the devil. It's like a roaring lion walking through, trying to see whom he may devour. But thanks be to God that sometimes he has a fence all around us, that Satan can't get to us. Oh, yeah, I remember a house that we had. We had this house, and the house had a patio. And on the patio, we had these glasses that you could get through, these door glasses. And I remember one time I looked, and before I opened the door, I looked down and I saw a snake. And I said to myself, I'm glad that there is something between me and the snake. I'm glad that there's something between me and sin. His name is Jesus. There's something between me and sin. It is the Holy Spirit. It's something between me and sin. It's God Almighty. Oh, yeah, if you just give him a little praise, the King of Glory will come in. Who is the King of Glory? He is the Lord of hosts. I looked down at that snake and I laughed at the snake and said, you can see me, but you can't get to me. Sometimes sin sees us, but it can't get to us. Because of the protection of God, we hide under the wings of the Almighty and dwell in the temple of the Most High. Well, I need to let you go. I need to keep you for a few minutes, but I also need to let you go. Sin feeds on our eyes of lust. Look what happened. David saw this beautiful woman. Whew. If I was at another church, I would tell you she was shaped like a Coca-Cola bottle. I would tell you that she towels back. Hair.
dark as 100 midnights, and wavy as the Atlantic Ocean. She was, the Bible, I didn't say this, the Bible says she was beautiful to behold. The old preacher said, David must have been a brother, because he looked at her and said, I gotta have that. Oh, yeah. But let me tell you, everything that looks good may not be good for you. Everything that shaped, everything that looks good may not be good for you. This woman belonged to one of David's soldiers. He was a captain in the king's army. But he saw her, inquired about her. Somebody said, that's Uriah's wife. Well, Uriah is at war. He's fighting for my freedom and for my kingdom. He sent for her, and the Bible said he laid with her. And then later she sent him a note and said, I am with child. Oops. I didn't messed up here. What I got to do is cover my sin. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, neighbor, you can't cover your sin. God sees everything. The Bible says that he sent for her husband, Uriah, and told him, go home. She was beautiful. She was appealing. But guess what? Uriah said, oh, no, I'm not going home. I'm going to stay around the palace. Can I help you? You can't trick somebody into covering your sin. We try to cover our sins by any means necessary. Do you know that old preacher? We're not giving anything in church. He's driving. A Jaguar. How much did he take of our money to get that? None. Thank God for Air Force retirement. Thank God for a Colonel's retirement. If Second Baptist never pays me a dime, guess what? I'm still going to eat. I'm still going to ride. I'm still going to live in a house. Because the God that I serve has provided for my every need according to his riches in glory. Now you stop paying and see if I stay here. Hallelujah. Uriah did not take advantages of the opportunity that the king offered him. And sometimes when you don't do what folk want you to do, they will kill you. They'll kill your reputation. They will kill your ministry. They will destroy all that God is doing in your life. Put him at the head of the battle. Uriah died. Thanks be to God that God always forgives us as we confess. God always reveals our sin to us. Send Nathan the prophet, and Nathan the prophet goes to the king, and he says to the king, sir, let me share something with you. There was a rich man who had a guest to come. And the guest, he prepared a feast for the guest. But there was a poor man who had just one little lamb. The rich man had a flock
But he did not take from his flock. He took the only thing that the poor man had, made a feast of it. You're the king. What would you do? David puffs himself up, adjusts his crown, stands in his royal robe and said, I'd kill him. Guess what Nathan said to him? Sir, thou art the man. You are the one that took Uriah's wife, and you have a whole host of wives, but you took his wife. Can I say something to us? Why do we judge what another person has done when we have done the same thing and when we've done worse? But I like what David did. In that 51st Psalm, David, after Nathan had come to him and told him about his sins, David turned to God. When you sin, turn to God. When you sin, confess your sins. Confess your sins. If you confess your sins, God will forgive. He's quick to forgive us of our sins. Look at that 51st number of the psalm. Listen to what David said. Have mercy upon me, O God. He didn't ask for grace. Grace is unmerited favor. He asked for mercy. Mercy is a legal term which says, don't give me the punishment that I deserve. So he says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitudes of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. What he's saying is, Lord, I have sinned. What I want you to do is to wipe the sin off the board. Wipe the sin out of my life. Is there anybody here that have sinned and God has wiped that sin out of your life? Is there anybody here that went down the wrong road and God turned you around? Is there anybody in this place that asked God for forgiveness? For he says, wash me. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. And then he said to the Lord, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. In that 8th verse, he said, make me to hear joy and gladness. Sin takes away our joy and our gladness. And then he said in that 9th verse, hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquities. And I like what he said in that 10th verse, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. I feel my help coming here. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. When we confess our sins and God wipes them away, he gives us a new spirit and a new heart. Is there anybody here that came out of sin and you looked at your hands and your hands looked new? Looked at your feet and they did too. Had a new walk and had a new talk. I thank God, Sister Harrison, that I don't speak the language that I learned early in the projects. That God has taken that vocabulary away from me. And Deacon Jackson, I don't cuss folk out anymore. I just tell them, thank you. I'm praying for you too. Thank you. I love you too, because God moves in a mysterious way.
You cannot cover your sins, but thank God, God can cover your sins. You can never lose your sin, but God takes your sins away. I'm reminded of a story I read, and I'm going to my seat when I tell you this. I remind myself of a story that I read about a couple that had been married for 47 years, and they practiced Catholicism. And in Catholicism, there are 9 stations of the cross. And when you get to one station, you can write down your sin. And when you get to another station, you can nail your sins to an old rugged cross. Well, when they got to the place to nail the sins, the husband said to the wife, "Baby, I lost my sins." Can I ask you a question? Can you ever lose your sins? The answer is never. You never lose your sin. You may deny your sin. You may put your sin, cover your sin. But can I tell you something? You never lose your sin. But God can forgive you of your sin. The story is that she said to him, "Baby, you didn't lose your sin. Why are you so upset?" He probably wasn't upset because of the sin. He was upset because he thought somebody would find, oh yeah, the sin that he had written down. But thanks be to God, you and I don't have to worry about our sins, because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, he hung out on Calvary to take our sins away. Is there anybody here that knows something about the forgiveness of God? Is there anybody here that know that God will forgive and God will wash your sins away? Though your sins be a scholar, he'll wash them and make them white as snow. Don't know about you, but I thank God for Jesus Christ. I thank God for the Christ who died. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sin takes our joy. But thanks be to God, he can restore what sin has taken away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's it, folks. I ain't got no more. But I'll tell you one thing. God is good. And he's worthy. He's worthy of all of our praise and all of our thanksgiving. Our deacons are coming. We invite you to come. You do not have a church home, Choir Saint. You do not have a church home and you live in this city. Come on, give God your heart and give God the glory. Singing.
Thank you for the cross.
Please stand.
Lord. Thank you for the price you paid.
Come on.
The cross, Lord. Sing. Thank you for the price you paid.
Thank you for the price you paid.
Sin and shame, in love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know is your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Seated on the throne.
Seated on the throne.
Crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious. Worthy is the Lamb. thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know is your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb. Seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns.